Come over for some wine and cheese will soon be a more expensive invitation. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Today's the day the Trump administration starts applying a 25% import tax on more than $7 billion worth of European products. These tariffs have been approved by the World Trade Organization, a penalty for improper European subsidies for Airbus jetliners. Now, if you like Velveeta cheese, Thunderbird wine, and Kentucky bourbon, this may not matter. But for those who like a Spanish olive or Chateauneuf du Pape or Scotch, things are about to get more expensive. And as Marketplace's Justin Ho reports, the EU could soon respond in kind.
The U.S. is arguing that the countries that make those products give illegal subsidies to Airbus, says economics professor Mary Lovely at Syracuse University.
And so they're going to pick products that will hit key interest groups within those countries.
Earlier this month, the World Trade Organization allowed the U.S. tariffs to go forward. But the thing is that the EU has also filed a WTO complaint about American subsidies to Boeing. And the EU is already drawing up its own list of American exports to hit with tariffs.
It includes frozen fish, citrus fruits, ketchup.
That's Catherine Russ, an economics professor at UC Davis. Russ says the American agriculture sector is especially vulnerable if Europe retaliates. Europe is the third biggest market for American farm products.
They're also an important destination market for aircraft, chemicals, machinery, pharmaceuticals.
The U.S. exports three times the amount of goods to Europe as it does to China. The WTO's ruling on Boeing subsidies is expected sometime next year. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
The biggest initial public offering of stock in the known galaxy has been delayed from any day now to maybe December, January. It's the Saudi oil company Aramco. Wall Street Journal is reporting that Saudi officials are saying they need to fine-tune the prospectus after some big investors complained they weren't getting the data they needed. I spoke this morning to Valerie Marcel, an associate fellow at the British think tank Chatham House in London.
Well, I think they are really boxed in by the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's early announcement that it would achieve a $2 trillion valuation. It becomes an embarrassment if they don't get the valuation they want. So I think there's always delays in this process. And so the timing probably will never be right to get that $2 trillion valuation. So I would expect further delays or changes to the offering.
Yes, that wasn't the phone line. You heard right. $2 trillion with a T as in tremendous. There's news. Economic growth in China is now the slowest in three decades, worse than expected. London's FTSE stock index is down 0.2%. Here, U.S. stock index futures are down slightly. Facebook co-founder Chris Hughes, who left the social media company about a dozen years ago, has called for that company to be broken up. He's launching a $10 million anti-monopoly fund, he's calling it. Marketplace's Erica Barris is following this.
Chris Hughes left Facebook more than a decade ago and co-chairs the Economic Security Project. This new fund is backed by some high-profile foundations and will go towards investing in academic research and people and groups working on antitrust matters. The idea that certain companies monopolize certain industries, not just in tech, but in healthcare, agriculture, and finance. The idea that a lack of competition is hurting people.
So is this a lobby group?
It could be seen that way, that money could go towards, say, a group that advances privacy legislation or activist groups. But $10 million is just a small sliver of the billions that large companies and industries spend in Washington. And antitrust, particularly around big tech, is a huge issue right now. This comes as federal agencies and state lawmakers have started investigations into some large tech firms.
Marketplace's Erica Barris. Honey production has fallen dramatically around the world, here and in Europe. A new study by scientists in France suggests a way to help. Here's this report from John Lawrenson in southwest France.
Guillaume Algeret lifts a frame out of one of his 400 hives, heavy with bees, pollen, wax, and honey. For the last 3 years, Algeret has been moving his bees away from conventional farms for part of the year to spend time away from pesticides so they can feast on the wild flowers that other farmers might consider weeds.
Ce sont des fleurs qui sont très importantes.
These flowers are very important for bees. Their pollen is extremely rich. Honeybees adore these flowers. They adore that pollen.
Scientists all over the world have been researching the multiple causes of collapsing bee populations. And now French researchers have released results of a large-scale six-year study here in southwest France that looked at whether organic farming is good for bees. It was published this summer in the peer-reviewed Journal of Applied Ecology. Vincent Boitagnol, biologist with the French Scientific Research Centre, CNRS, says his study shows that organic farming is good for honey production and bee survival.
The exciting thing about this study is that the magnitude of the effects are really, really very strong.
Boitagnol says that as well as not using insecticides or herbicides, organic farms usually plant a wider variety of crops whose flowers bees can feed on through many seasons. And as a result,
when you've got up to 10 or 20% of organic farming at the landscape scale, you increase honey production by almost 50%, and you also increase adult survival rates.
Like this field that has been left fallow, where Guillaume Argeret has brought his hives so the bees can find pollen from wild flowers. About 6% of French arable land is organically farmed, and that figure is increasing every year. In Nouvelle-Aquitaine, France, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
There's a new documentary coming about vulnerable American bees and the wild logistical operation to keep moving those industrious little critters to and fro across the country during pollination time. I'll talk to the filmmaker on the Marketplace Morning Report next week. Our executive producer, Nicole Childers, our digital producer, Miguel Contreras, the engineer, Brian Allison. Our fellow is Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio. And this is from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.